Recording, are you recording? Well, actually, I can't record. You have to record.
Yeah, it's being recorded. Okay, let's begin straight away. I'm Daftok Gimel Amud Aleph. So we'll be learning the sugya, which is quite a lengthy sugya, and it's still quite a way to go. Very, very near halach lamaisa. So the halachas that we've been learning so far is either if somebody wants to recite Krishma or Davin in a place which is unfit, either because there is soil there, on there, a glam, or there is a bad smell there, or we'd be looking at halachas where the person is unfit. The room might be totally clean, but he is in a situation where he's not fit, either because he is in an unclean state, or because he needs to relieve himself. For example, we'd be learning these halachas. Does he need to stop? How long does he need to stop? Does he stop for when he finishes his break? Where does he go back to? Etc., etc. So the very last halacha we saw, if you remember, the Gemara says that you should not begin davening if the person feels that he needs to be relieved, and we said that means ad parasa. Ad parasa means 72 minutes. If he feels he can hold himself in for that time, there's no problem, even lechatchila to begin davening. So let's go to the Gemara. We are on the 6th wide line, the end of the 6th wide line. Omar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. Omar Rabbi Yenison. Hanitzrach lemekovov. If somebody needs to be excused, as we pointed out last time, the beauty of learning an Indian like this is that subjects which are very delicate, perhaps, are described in rather vague terms, and that's exactly the beauty of it. Instead of, there's no necessity to use any vulgar expressions to describe things that could be described, could be used words which are vulgar. The Gemara doesn't do that, Chazal doesn't do that, the Torah doesn't do that. So, Hanitzrach l'nekovov, a nekev, as we know, literal translated of a nekev, and a nekev just means a hole. So, Hanitzrach l'nekovov is, as it were, the metaphoric way of somebody who needs to be excused. Harei zeh lo yispalel, should not daven, as we mentioned in a previous Gemara. But here, the Gemara actually backs it up with a posuk. Now, when we back it up with a posuk, this particular posuk is not in the Torah, it's in the Novi, in Omois, which means, by definition, that it's not a proper drosha as such. When we learn something from the Novi, if we would learn it from the Torah, then it might well be a proper drosha, the real halacha min ha-Torah. This is not learned from Pasuk in the Torah, which means that Chazal are almost finding a remez, perhaps, for it in the Pasuk. So this is a Pasuk in Omois, and it's going to be followed up by a Pasuk in Kehelet. Shenema, because it is written, and this is a Pasuk in Omois, and it says, Hikoin likras Elokecho Yisrael. Now this is a very important pasuk. This is brought elsewhere in the Gemaras as well. Hikoin literally means, like from the word hachona. Hachona we know means to prepare. So hikoin, prepare yourself, likrat, as you come towards Elokecha Yisrael. Now, obviously, there is no clear intimation in that pasuk that we are talking about tefillah. But I'll just give you an example. The Gemara elsewhere talks about the necessary dress code for davening. What is the appropriate way to be dressed for davening? And the Gemara there also mentions this pasuk. Now, in our context, hikoyin likras lekech Yisrael, prepare yourself as you approach the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the understanding is that's referring to tefillah. But again, prepare yourself, the pasuk doesn't tell us or even hint to us how you should prepare yourself. So that's why the Gemara is telling us, when Rav Shmuel ben Achmei, in the name of Rav Yenison, is quoting this pasuk, he's telling you that this pasuk could be used to understand, prepare yourself, meaning prepare your bodily needs. But nobody can honestly say that that's the simple translation of the pasuk. After all the pasuk says is, prepare yourself. Maybe prepare yourself means come an hour early to davening to get ready mentally. How do you know it means get ready physically? So again, like we said before, it's not a real drosha. And that's why the other Gemara that we just mentioned talks about the appropriate dress code. Again, uses the pasuk at a slightly different angle. Prepare yourself, how so? Not only tending to your bodily needs, but also tend to the way that you're dressed. You wouldn't just drop into the palace of the melech without first getting ready the way you would appear. So too, and obviously more so, when you're coming to approach the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Which, by the way, is worth just pausing for a moment. It's a little bit of a difficult halacha. And I'd like to share with you a thought that I have on this subject. I've never seen it written anywhere, so I say it tentatively, but tell me what you feel, whether you agree or disagree. We know on the one hand, there are clearly halachic guidelines with regard to how you should dress for shul. One has to come in looking mechubad, right? We don't go into shul wearing a pair of shorts that we've just done jogging in the street or done our gardening with. That we all understand, both based on logic and also quite clearly written in the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara, there is a certain dress code. Right, we would all go to davening wearing our jackets, putting on a hat, etc., etc. So, I remember, it used to bother me. On the one hand, davening is all about, as it were, a meeting with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and the avodah of tefillah, as we discussed in our tefillah v'adim, is we connect to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and it's so important to realize that we're talking to the Melech Malchei Hamlochim. So the question must therefore be asked, well, if that's really true, the halacha always reflects the hashkafa. If you want to truly understand the hashkafa of any Indian, look at the halachics. So let's be perfectly honest. We don't all go and put on a tie when we go to Davan Mincha. We don't put on our Shabbos clothes. So how does that reflect... How does that reflect the hashkafa of tefillah, which is, I'm about to meet the melech? If I was meeting the melech, I wouldn't in a million years go in my weekday suit. I wouldn't in a million years go without having first taken a haircut and a shower and putting on a tie and my Shabbos clothes, etc., etc. And not only does nobody do that, there is no halachic requirement to do that. So how does that quite fit in with the hashkafas of tefillah, which are surely that when you go to Davin, you are now meeting the Melech Malchei Hamlochim. And on the one hand, as I mentioned, that does require a minimal dress code. You don't go to shul davening wearing your sports shoes. You've got to look mechubad, but nowhere does it say you've got to wear your Shabbos clothes or look your absolute best. Is that a question or is that not a question? Does anybody have any suggestions? Why do we not open a Shulchan Aruch and expect that the Shulchan Aruch say, Chayev, Odom, Lilvoish, Big Day Shabbos, Kol, Tfilah, Tfilah, and you should take a haircut and you should have a shower and... But what are we going to say? Because it's impractical, it's too difficult, that doesn't seem likely answer.
People have varying perceptions as to what Mechubad is. Some hold that it's enough if you come in with a white shirt, black jacket, black pants, and a hat. Others hold that's nice, but it's better to wear a tie.
Sure, I agree. Now, I agree that mechubad definitely is a very relative term, and it's subjective, but I agree. But everybody agrees that whatever your definition of mechubad is, it does not require you to wear and appear your absolute best. There is definitely a distinction between mechubad and wearing your absolute best. I think the way that you might well today go to the Gra Shul to daven mincha would not be the way you would be happy to turn up at Rebbe Kornfeld's daughter's wedding. So how does that jive with the hashkafas of tefillah, which is surely you're about to meet the Melech Malchei Hamlochim?
Excuse me for saying so, but I consider the two equivalent, and I would dress the same at either one.
Good for you, Rabbi Yehudah. My father was still appalled when I went to yeshiva that we didn't all wear ties in yeshiva. that in his yeshiva, if you look at the early photos and gates of yeshiva, every bachur was wearing a tie and a jacket, for that matter, during Seder.
The only difference is that on Shabbos I have a Shabbos suit, and on weekdays I have a weekday suit.
Okay, so when you go to my Kornfeld daughter's wedding, which suit will it be?
Weekday.
Oh, okay, so my question
Why? Because Shabbos is more mechubad than a wedding.
Okay, I'm with you. So my question is for the rest of us. I remember when I first came to Gimel, people asked me, how's the Rabbonus? I said, it's tremendous to be a Rav. It's a tremendous privilege. I said, really, why? Because now when I go to weddings, I don't need to put a tie on. I'm already wearing one. It's a big perk to the job. I don't have to go and dig up a tie. I've got one on. So what is the answer? Nachum, you hear our question? This is a question that bothered me for a while. There is definitely a standard of clothing that a person has to appear at davening with. One wouldn't come to davening wearing a pair of shorts, we hope, or dirty clothes, etc., etc., on the one hand. And yet, on the other hand, why... therefore, does the halacha not require us to wear Shabbos clothes? After all, isn't tefillah all about a meeting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Melech Malchei Amlochem? We wouldn't come to a king, a Melech Bosa V'dom, or anybody important for that matter, not having had a shower and taking a haircut and wearing Shabbos clothes. So I think that maybe, I say it hesitantly because I've never seen this answer written everywhere, anywhere, but maybe to the contrary. Maybe there is, in fact, a very beautiful lesson in this. And that is, yes, you have to be mechubad. It will be considered a zilzul not to come mechubad, which has been the subject of our entire Gemara. So if there's a bad smell or bathroom, which is actually going to be the next sugya, etc., etc., that will be considered a zilzul, and there is never any justification for davening in a state like that. But the reason why you're not mechuyev now to go and put your Shabbos clothes on, etc., etc., might just be, to the contrary, in order to transmit to us the hashkafa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is available, as it were, every moment. Even in our weekday clothes, even in on a regular, quote-unquote, day, we all have a kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you put on your Shabbos clothes every time you went to daven, it would somehow perhaps send over a message that, you know, you're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you absolutely dress your best. But on a regular Monday afternoon, in your normal clothes, then perhaps not. And that's not true. So yes, you do not come chas v'sholom in clothes which would be considered a bizoyi or a zilzal. There's no justification for that. But to the contrary, the fact that I'm coming in my weekday clothes, as long as they're mechubad, they're not dirty, etc., etc., is precisely in order to relay the hashkafa that we're connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam in every type of clothes that we wear. So if that's the case, no, so why can't we come in our pajamas? Why can't we come in shorts? No, because that would be considered a bizarre. That's inexcusable. But to the contrary, there is no requirement to all dress up. I don't need to dress up. For the same reason, for example, as, yes, when I go to see the Melech, I'll put on my Shabbos clothes. So why, when I go and speak to my mother, do I not need to put my Shabbos clothes on? I've got a mitzvah deraisa, kibudein. She's as important to me, she's more important to me. The answer is because my relationship with my mother is that my mother's more happy to see me in any than the king is. And I have an ongoing relationship with my parents, with my father, with my mother, with my children. And therefore, I don't need to dress up for them. I need to dress up for the king. I don't need to dress up to somebody that I have a constant relationship with day to day, minute to minute. So, as kadei kach, I can't obviously be wearing something that would be considered a bizoyen, but I don't need to put on a whole costume. Maybe that's the reason. Maybe that's the reason. Okay, either way, back to our story. So the Gemara has quoted the Pasuk, Hikoin. Hikoin, famous Pasuk. Hikoin means prepare yourself for davening. So elsewhere, it's with regard to the necessary clothing. In our Gemara, it's not with regard to the clothing, it's with regard to his bodily needs. If he feels he needs to be relieved, then that's not appropriate preparation for davening. He should not be davening in that state. Says the Gemara, the Omar of Shmuel bar Nachmeni. What does it mean, the Omar? This is another statement in his name, Omar of Yenison, and now we're quoting another Pasuk. And this Pasuk is written in Keheles. As we know, a lot of Keheles, in fact, almost all of it, is written very, very cryptically and metaphorically. So it's not obviously clear what the words in the Pasuk mean. So let's take this slowly. The Omar of Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omar of Yenison. My diksiv shmoir raglecho kaasher teilech el beit ho Elohim. This is just part of the pasuk. The rest of the pasuk, the Gemara, will quote in the coming lines. So let's first just translate literally, and then we'll see how the Gemara understands this metaphorically. Shmoir raglecho, literally translated, is protect your legs or your feet. Kasher teilech, as you go, el beisu Elohim, to the house of God. So we can translate literally, but we don't really understand what that's referring to. Protect your feet as you go to the house of God. What does that mean? How do you protect your feet? Why do I need to protect my feet? What's going on over here? So the Gemara says, Shmoi raglecho kasher teilech, El Beis Elohim. What this means is, again, metaphorically, Shmoir Atzmacha. What it means is, guard yourself, Shaloi Techeta. What it means is, guard yourself so that you do not sin. Ve'im Techeta. But if you do sin, Hove carbon lefonai. Bring a carbon before me. Now, what's that got to do with protecting your feet? So look at Rashi. Rashi explains, as ever. Shemor atzmacha shelo techeto. You should guard yourself, look after yourself, that you should not sin. V'titztarech raglecha, because if you do sin, then your feet will necessitate lo leches el beis v'loikim, to go to the house of God, which means the beis hamikdash, lo havi chatos, to bring a korban chatos. Ultimately, somebody who is careful not to be over an aveira is protecting his feet. What does that mean, he's protecting his feet? Doesn't mean he's looking after his shoes. It means he's saving himself a trip to the Beit HaMikdash. That's what it means. When it says, guard your feet from going to the Beit Elohim, it means act in a way in which it will not be necessary to go to the Beit HaMikdash to bring a korban, which is another way of saying, be on guard not to be over an aveira. Says the Gemara, Shmoir, the last word on the line. Shmoir atzmacha shaloi techeto. Guard yourself so that you shall not sin. Ve'im techeto. And if you do, hove korban lefonai. Bring a korban before me. Bring a korban before me. Now, the pasuk continues. V'koroiv lishmoya. Quote, unquote. The Divrei Chachamim goes in parenthesis. Koroiv lishmoya are the next words in the pasuk. Now, koroiv lishmoya, again, literally translated, koroiv, be close, lishmoya, to listen. All very vague, all very cryptic. What's it referring to? Omar Rava. Rava says, this can be understood figuratively to mean the following. Heve Koroiv lishmoya. You should be close to listening, which means you should listen carefully to what? To lishmoya divrei chachamim. Listen carefully. Carefully to what? The pasuk doesn't tell me what I'm supposed to be listening to. So Rava explains that this is a cryptic reference to be careful to listen to Divrei Chachamim. She'im Choytim, The Chachamim were the ones who explained to us She'im Chaitim, that if a person sins, Mevi'im Korban, then they bring a Korban, and also Va'osim Tshuva, and they also have to repent. Now, keep on going, and then you'll see the picture will emerge. Quote, unquote, this is now the next words in the Pasuk, Mites, or Mitas, Haksilim, Zevach. Mitas, from the word take, to give. As opposed to giving the ksilim. What does ksilim mean? Ksilim are foolish people. Be closer to listening than the foolish giving of the korban. How do foolish people bring a korban? Mitas haksilim zevach. Be closer, listen carefully. Mitas, as opposed to giving the zevach of ksilim, the korban of foolish people. Now, how do foolish people give korbanos? The Gemara explains. What that means is, al tehi k'ksilim. Do not be like the foolish people, shechaitim, who sin, umevi'im korban, and they bring a korban, that's all fine and well, but the ein oisim tshuva. But they are not actually chayzer b'tshuva. That's why they're foolish people. There are two ways of approaching the whole concept of a korban. There's the foolish way and there's the wise way. The foolish way is, you bring the korban and I'm done. The wise way is, don't do that. Rather, listen to the words of the chachamim, who taught us that to bring a korban is not sufficient. It has to be accompanied by being chayzer b'tshuva. And that's what this pasuk means. Have a korayv lishmoya. Be close to listening means pay careful attention to the words of the chachamim and don't bring the korban of foolish people. They bring a korban without being chayzer b'tshuva. Make sure you pay attention to the words of Chachamim, which is that when, if and when you need to bring a korban, it should be accompanied by tshuva. Look at Rashi. Have a koroi lishmoya, tshuva, bahavas korbancha. Make sure there is tshuva together with the bringing of your korban. Mitas, rather than the giving of oisai, that type of giving, k'ksilim, b'loi tshuva. Don't fall into the trap. Don't follow the path of the ksilim, who might well also bring korbanos, but they're missing the main point, which is the tshuva. Don't do that. Now, the Gemara continues explaining the last words of the pasuk, and then we'll see how this all comes back to our subject. Says the Gemara, ki einam yoidim lasois ra, quote, unquote. These are the last words of the pasuk. Again, this is the pasuk in Kehelet, written by Shlomo HaMelech. Ki einam yoidim lasois ra. Now again, literally translated means, they do not know how to do evil. They do not know of any evil. Now, besides the fact this is all so cryptic and vague, but this is more than just vague, this is very difficult to understand. We're talking about, apparently, people who do averus. And what are we saying? What's Shlomo HaMelech teaching us? Make sure that you listen. Make sure you listen to the words of the Chachamim. And if you ever bring a korban, make sure it's accompanied by tshuva. As opposed to the ksilim do bring a korban, but they don't bring tshuva. And how does the pasuk finish? Because they don't know of doing evil. What does that mean, they don't know of doing evil? If they don't know of doing evil, then why are they bringing korbanos in the first place? If they don't know anything bad, which means they're just huge tzaddikim, so how does the first part of the pasuk fit in with the second part? So that's the Gemara's kasha. Says the Gemara, Ihochi, if so, tzadikim ninhu, ? If we're talking about people who don't know of doing evil, then they're tremendously righteous. And if they're righteous, then why are they bringing korbanos? Why are you talking about doing aveiras and tshuva? We're talking about people who don't do evil. What's going on? Says the Gemara, Elo, the way you've got to understand this is as follows. Al tehi kiksilim. Don't be like the foolish people. What do? Shechaitim, they sin. Umevim carbon, and they bring a carbon, that's true. However, ve'einom yoidim, but they do not know im al hatoiva heimavim, im al hara'o heimavim. They've got no idea what are they bringing a carbon for. Is it for that which they've done bad? Is it something to do with the good deeds that they've done? In other words, they have no idea of the concept of a korban. Einom yoidim la'aseis ra doesn't mean they don't know of doing evil. They do know of doing evil. They don't know why they are bringing a korban. How does the korban relate to what they have done? There are various they have performed. There's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara continues. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bein Toiv L'ra, the difference between good and evil, Einon Mavchinim, they are unable to discern. V'heim Mevim Karban Lefonai? ? Somebody who doesn't know the difference between good and evil has no idea why he's got to bring a Karban. And now he's bringing me a korban and expects me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give him atonement. That's what this pasuk is saying, which means, very important lesson, the korban is only as good as the person who brings it. Does he understand, does he appreciate what the purpose of the korban is? To be chayzer b'tshuva, to be able to discern between good and evil. Now, all of this is very important, but what on earth has it got to do with our subject? We're busy discussing, somebody needs to relieve himself before davening. What's it got to do with karbonis and tshuva? Look at the next line, says the Gemara. Rav Ashi, or the Itamer of Chanina bar Papa, it was either Rav Ashi or some have it in the name of Rav Chanina bar Papa, they translated this whole pasuk differently. Like we said before, it's a pasuk in Kehelet. And if it's in Kehelet, it's all very cryptic. The pasuk began with very vague words. What are the pasuk saying? Protect your legs from going to the Beis Elohim. What on earth does that mean? So one metaphoric translation is, protect your legs mean, don't perform an aveira, and that way you will protect, you will save your legs from having to make a trip to the Beis HaMikdash to bring a korban. The second translation has nothing to do with that whatsoever. What is the new translation? This is now our topic. Says the Gemara, the other translation is, do you know what it means? Shemoy, what does it mean? You should guard your legs? What it means is, Shemoir nekavecho. That's what it means, your legs. Protect means your goof. Take care of your bodily needs. Bashal at the time shata oimed bitfilo lefonai. So yes, the whole concept of karbonis and tshuva actually have nothing to do with our subject whatsoever. The only reason it was mentioned is because it's the alternative translation, or at least explanation, interpretation of this pasuk. I don't think we can really say it's the translation of the pasuk. Translation of the pasuk is protect your legs. It's all very vague. The first interpretation is protect your legs means don't perform an aveira, which means your legs will have to then take a trip to the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Beis Elohim. The second translation is Beis Elohim is not the Beis HaMikdash, it's the shul, the Mokum of Tfilah. Protect your legs means take care of your bodily needs before you go and daven, and that's the way you should approach the Beis Elohim. Now, as we mentioned before, this does not mean that this all of a sudden becomes a halacha min ha-Torah, because it's not actually learned from a pasuk in the Torah. It's learned from a pasuk in Koheleth, and as we just explained, nobody can say that this is the obvious translation of the pasuk. So this is an interpretation of a very vague pasuk, but the way the Amoraim understand, it is a reference at least to the concept that we are talking about. Okay, with that we continue. Let's make a start for the next Gemara. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbonon, the last word on the line. Tanu Rabbonon, Hanichnas Lebeis Hakisei. Now we must press pause before we continue. Part of the difficulty of learning a sugya like this is that the Beis Hakisei that the Gemara describes bears no resemblance whatsoever, thankfully, to the Beis HaKisei that we know, which, by the way, presents all types of halachic shailas. Our Beis HaKisei is 1,000 times more dignified and clean and hygienic than the Beis HaKisei as described in Chazal, which therefore means that when you actually come to working out the halacha, it might not necessarily be the same in our Beis HaKisei. When we talk about, for example, somebody entering the Beis HaKisei, holding food, famous shayla, or saying Dvarim Shebe Kedusha, we cannot jump to conclusions, even if the Gemara seems to say quite clearly it's awesome. Because the Beis HaKisei that the Gemara is describing is the Beis HaKisei in the times of Chazal. The Beis HaKisei in the times of Chazal was extremely primitive. It basically was, at best, a hole in the ground. That's all you had. And sometimes, as we'll see in the Hemshech of the Gemara, it wasn't even that. It was just a place on the ground. It was a field away from the home so that no dirt or smell should creep into the home. And that was the part of the field that was used. But there was no hole and there was no sanitation system, etc., etc., etc. The Gemara says, Anichnas lebeis HaKisei. Somebody enters the Beis HaKisei, choleitz tfilov, he removes his tefillin. Also important to remember, we see how things have changed dramatically. In times of Chazal, people wore tefillin all day long. That's why the Gemara doesn't even say, if somebody happens to be wearing tefillin, the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara just says, he should take off his tefillin. One second, who says he's wearing tefillin? The answer is, because they're always wearing tefillin. So choleitz tefillin berichuk dalad amos, four amos away, and then the nichnas, and only then he should enter. Now we have to press pause, but just before we see the next Gemara, everybody can think about, we need to now work out what is the issue over here. Is the issue the very fact that he's wearing the tefillin in the Beis HaKisei, is that the issue? Or is the issue of relieving himself whilst wearing tefillin? Which of the two issues is it? We'll see in Mitzvah Shem and Hemshech of Gemara, and we'll take this up tomorrow morning in Mitzvah Shem. All the best. Have a great day.